Taurus, Magical Matthew here. Welcome to tour number 109 of Disney Conversations. Our guest today is Sarah Norris. She's been on here before talking about gluten-free and dairy-free at Walt Disney World. She and her significant other recently took a cruise to Alaska on the Disney Wonder, and Sarah was kind enough to come aboard and share that experience with us. I hope you'll find this interesting. I know I did. A lot of good information. So what do you say we set sail on this? All aboard. Welcome back to Disney Conversations. I'm your host, Magical Matthew. And on this tour, we want to welcome back Sarah Norris. Now, Sarah last visited us on tour number 78 to talk about all the special measures that Disney takes to properly cater to those who have food sensitivity issues. But on this tour, she may talk about some of that, obviously, because that's her thing. But she's really here to talk to us more about the voyage they took on the Disney Wonder to Alaska. So, Sarah, welcome back to Disney Conversations. We're sure glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Matthew, for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to talk about Disney Cruise Line and Alaska.
The only downside to this is that if my wife actually listens to it, I may have to start working a whole lot of overtime because Alaska is one of the places she wants to go.
I feel like every time we talk about this with any of our friends, coworkers, everybody's like, now I need to go to Alaska. So I bet that's a fair statement that you will be now planning an Alaska cruise.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll do it on Disney because I don't know if she'll want me to pony up that kind of dough. But hey, they're not the only ones doing it. They may be the only ones doing it that well.
Well, you know what? I think Alaska, no matter how you get to, that's sort of my big takeaway. We love Disney Cruise Line and we highly recommend it. But, you know, if there are other cruise lines and that's the way you get to Alaska, mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend it either way.
I know that Royal Caribbean usually sends one of their ships up there and they are a good bit less expensive. But I think if you do a side-by-side comparison, you probably find out you spend almost the same amount on one of their cruises by the time you get all their add-on stuff.
Yeah, I think it definitely depends. And one of the things that we can talk about today is things like excursions, whether you're on Disney or Royal Caribbean or any of the other cruise lines, Princess, that those that go out of Alaska, the excursions are going to be comparable across those cruise lines, and they can be kind of pricey. So it's definitely something to take into consideration.
All right. So let's just jump in pretty much at the beginning. How did you guys decide to take this cruise? And was Disney the only cruise line you were considering?
Ooh, those are good questions. So we started thinking about Alaska a few years ago. Spoiler alert for you and the listeners, we booked this in 2019. It has been canceled and rebooked and canceled four different times. So it was 4 years in the making. So we're very, very excited to go. And for us, Disney was the number one cruise line for us to consider. And that's because, as you mentioned in the intro, I have special dietary needs. So I have to be medically gluten-free. And Brandon, who's my significant other, has a bunch of food allergies. And because we have cruised Disney Cruise Line before, they're really good with food allergies. And we felt like that was a good option for us, knowing that we would have safe food. We love Disney. We love Disney Cruise Line. So it just seems like a perfect fit all around for us to do DCL for this sailing.
So that was just like an extra layer of security for you guys, knowing going on board this that they're going to take care of your dietary needs because that's the experience you've had before.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in some of the port days where it was a little bit more difficult for us to find food options safely, we were able to go back to the ship and eat lunch and feel super comfortable and then go back and do more sightseeing while we were there. So it worked out really well.
Where did you have to go to get on the ship and how was that process?
So travel definitely was a lot to think about and to consider when you're going to Alaska. I think any Alaska cruise, you're thinking about budget and you're thinking about the location. So currently Disney sails out of Vancouver, Canada. So we did have to go to Vancouver from Orlando. We decided because air travel right now is a little challenging. There's lots of flights that get canceled mm-hmm. and delayed. And we actually saw a ton of people who were in our cruise group that had cancellations or delays that really impacted their travel. So we decided to go a couple of days early off. We had one full day in Vancouver and one travel day. And that worked really well for us. We were super lucky. We got a direct flight there, which was great. Made that super convenient. And then we got in kind of late, so we ended up staying at the airport there. So that is one pro tip if you were flying into Vancouver. There are quite a few different hotel airports, and that made it really nice. So we didn't have to trek all the way like 40 minutes into Vancouver to the cruise terminal area to get to our other hotel at like what would have been 2 o'clock in the morning for us. So that was a nice convenient factor.
Yeah, and I'm sure that time change played with you for a little bit. I like the idea of going a couple of days early for that reason. It gives you a couple of days to let your body adjust a little bit to that time change.
Totally, yeah, because it was 3 hours for us. We're on Eastern Standard Time. Right. That 3 hours was definitely a challenge. And then during the cruise, not only did we have a 3 hour time change, but then we also went to Alaska time zone, which is another hour behind. So we're 4 hours behind partway through the cruise, and we had to flip back to Pacific time. So yeah, the time zones were definitely challenging. So I would say if you are thinking about whether you're going on an Alaska cruise that departs out of Seattle or Vancouver, just give yourself a little bit of a time, not only because travel is just kind of a bit of chaos right now, but also just because of the time zones and acclimations, especially if you're kind of in the Midwest or the East Coast of the U.S., that'll help a lot.
Yeah, that makes great sense to me. You got there a little early, so did you actually do any sightseeing around Vancouver? I hear it's a beautiful city.
We did. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a great city. Funnily enough, we had very unusual weather when we went to Vancouver, so we packed. We could talk a little bit about packing and stuff later, about what to bring when you are a Floridian and you are used to, you know, 80 to 90 degrees going into Canada. Sounds like it's going to be quite chilly. So we packed lots of kind of cool weather clothes, but we did for each bring a little bit of warm weather stuff. It was 85 degrees in Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
The day we got there. So we wore shorts and t-shirts the day we did sightseeing, and then also on our embarkation day, which was kind of funny and not expected. But we did get to do a good amount of sightseeing. We just kind of explored the city. We found a lot of restaurants. We got gluten-free poutine, which was exciting for me, and just got to go to places like Gastown and just really explore. We did a lot around Canada Place, which is where the cruise port is. We didn't make it to Stanley Park, which is sort of a staple in Vancouver. People, if you love outdoors, you want to go to a park, Stanley Park, you can't get better than that. Unfortunately, we just didn't have as much time as we thought we were going to have, even though we did go in a little bit early. So just keep that in mind if you're going there. Keep realistic expectations about what you can get in. And if you're tired and jet lagged, that might mean you have to skip some things you thought you were going to plan to do.
Yeah, because you could have a pillow calling your name a little earlier than you expect.
Uh-huh. Yep. We both crashed very early that night because we were excited about the cruise, but we were also really tired from the travel and the jet lag.
Well, and I don't know about you, but sleeping like that for me is a way that I adjust my time a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely helped get us back on track. Yeah.
All right, so talk to us about your embarkation day. How did you get where you had to get on the ship, and how'd that process go?
Yeah, so going to Vancouver, one of the things that we were really thinking about was, okay, where do we stay, right? We're going, we've got a bunch of luggage, more luggage than we normally take on a Disney cruise because we have coats and all sorts of wintry clothes. And so we ended up with four pretty large suitcases. And so the big consideration for us was making sure we stayed someplace convenient. So we actually stayed in the cruise port terminal. There is a hotel right there, the Pan Pacific. It is a little bit on the pricey side, but we ended up getting, I used our Disney Vacation Club points. So if you have Disney Vacation Club, you can actually convert your points to timeshare points for hotels. And so we did that. So it made it great for us because we didn't have to pay a ton of extra money. And the cool thing about that was not only was it right there in the terminal, but you can call them on embarkation day and they will take your luggage to the cruise ship for you.
Oh, now that's sweet.
Uh-huh. You don't have to lug it. You don't have to do anything. You just say, hey, I'm going on this cruise. Here's my luggage. And then they will take it. They'll make sure you have the Disney Cruise Line luggage tags on for it, for everything. They'll pick it up. And the next time you see your luggage, it is at your room. which is pretty amazing.
That's kind of a flashback to the way they used to do things at Disney World.
Yep. So it's convenient. And I would say that is the one benefit of staying at that hotel, was it made it so simple for us. And then even on debarkation day, so when we got done with the cruise, because we had stayed at the hotel, we had a later flight, so we didn't have to, we had to go to the airport later in the day. So we had some time to do some more sightseeing. They held on to our luggage for us.
Nice.
Again, free of charge. They said, okay, great. We'll hold on to your luggage and then you just come back and get it when you're done. So that's a real benefit of the Pan Pacific. But it was great. So we dropped our, they picked up our luggage. We went and got breakfast there in Canada Place. We went to a place that had Dutch pancakes. That was really nice. We grabbed that. And then it was very easy. We went through our time. We had about, I think our time was 12:45 to 1:30 maybe for boarding. It was very easy. It was not busy at all. We went through all the processes. The only thing that I think is a little bit more challenging in an international one is going through customs. Yeah. So we went not only through Canadian customs, but also U.S. customs, because we were going through Canada, but then we're going into America. So we had to do both customs back to back. So that was probably the only time challenge of embarkation. But once we went through customs, it was really fast, easy, and we were on the ship, which was amazing.
Now, have you ever been on the Wonder before?
This was our first sailing on the Wonder. We now only have to get the Fantasy in. So we have been on the Magic, the Wish, the Dream, now the Wonder, and then we just have to get the Fantasy in. So this was great because we were curious to see the different things on the Wonder since it was new for us. Tiana's Place was a new restaurant. We were excited about that. We were also curious to see how it sort of compared to the Magic, which we love.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm trying to remember, isn't the Wonder one of the originals?
It is. So the Magic was first, and then right after that came the Wonder.
Yeah, so what was it like? Because I know I haven't been on any of the ships yet, but I understand that the newer ships have a more open concept for the atrium. What's it like walking onto the Wonder? Is it like that or is it different?
It's definitely different. Everything on the Wonder and the Magic are smaller. So the atrium is small. So if you've been on the Dream, it's just this giant sprawling atrium. Mm-hmm. And the Wonder is like half the size, which is kind of fun. Everything just feels smaller. So whether it's the hallways, whether it's some of the different spaces, everything just feels a little tinier. Nothing that is takes away from the experience or makes anything feel very crowded, because it is less people. The capacity for the passengers is going to be less than, say, the Dream or the Fantasy or the Wish. But yeah, everything is just a little bit smaller. And everything kind of has a little bit of that original vibe. So you can definitely tell over the years how things have changed sort of from a design perspective, from the Magic and the Wonders. Like, you can feel like it was done in the 90s versus, you know, the Wish, which is very current and contemporary.
Kind of sounds like the Wonder might be a more intimate type cruise ship. Maybe
absolutely,
maybe a little more open to talking to people in your area, especially when it comes to dining. You're pretty much with the same people all the way through, aren't you?
Yes, you keep your service team throughout your sailing. So on any of the Disney cruise ships, when you go to main dining, your service team stays with you the whole time. So you really get to know your servers throughout a 7-day cruise. And also, like you said, Matthew, because it is a smaller ship, everything does feel more intimate. You can really get to know a lot of the crew, whether at the bar and lounges, the coffee shops, all the food spaces, and even different passengers. We were on a 7-day cruise. We'd see people all the time in the same places. We'd get to know folks. We had lots of good conversation with people, got to hang out with folks that we'd met on the cruise. So it was really great because by the end of the cruise, you feel like you really get to know a lot of people.
That sounds really, really nice. Okay, so you've got embarkation day. I assume you had to do your muster orientation as always.
The worst part of the cruise. The worst part of any cruise. I wish Disney would go back to they were doing during sort of the cruise restart after COVID. They were doing like an e-muster thing where you would scan something and watch a video on your phone or in your station.
Right, and it would guide you to your station, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was so convenient. And now they've gone back to the in-person muster drill because people can't follow rules. So everybody has to do it now. It's okay. You know, it's not a fun part of the cruise, but you know, once it's done, you're on your way to go into the sail away party, you're getting ready to get out of port, and you're on to your destination. So once you get past that, it's okay. But yeah, it's no one's favorite part of the cruise by any means.
I kind of wanted to ask you right up front, what was the itinerary on this cruise? Where were your ports of call?
So we had three ports of call in Alaska. We had kind of an unofficial port of call because you do go to a glacier. So we had one glacier day. We went to Tracy Arm and Sawyer Glacier. It's really up to the captain mm-hmm. and the weather where they're going to end up, because sometimes they do go to Dawes Glacier and Endicott Arm. So that varies. But we went to Tracy Arm. And then for our actual port stops, we went to Skagway, Juneau, and Ketchikan.
Okay.
So you kind of get the best of the south, sort of southeast Alaska area.
Yeah. Kind of the hit parade.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your first day.
Well, our first day was day at sea. And that is what I like to call just getting your sea legs. You're just figuring out where things are. You're getting everything familiarized. You're probably going to chill and relax a little bit because you know you're going to be super busy for the rest of the cruise until you get your final sea day again.
Right.
So that first sea day, we just really took it easy. Because embarkation day is kind of a busy day. We thought this is a great time to just relax. We did go to Palo Brunch that day, which was awesome. 10 out of 10 recommend that to anybody going on any Disney cruise ship. Palo Brunch is the best and definitely worth the price for an adult brunch. So if you like brunch or breakfast, it is a fantastic place to go.
Yeah, I've heard that on other cruise reports, and they talk about Palo all the time. So a lot of people say that going on Disney cruise is kind of like Disney World of old, with the level of food and the care that you get from the cast members and that kind of thing. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And that's one of the reasons we do love Disney Cruise Line so much. We always say we go back for the crew, because the level of service, the friendliness of the crew, the extra steps that they take to kind of create magical experiences is really unparalleled. And it does remind us of kind of how Disney has been in years past. So it's something I always say is a real benefit and reason why people continue to go through DCL. We see crew over the years that we know that recognize us, that catch up with us. And that's pretty remarkable to be able to see people and go, oh my gosh, how are you doing? Like, we saw you four cruises ago. How do you even remember us for the amount of people that you see?
Right.
So that to me is a really extra special kind of touch.
I would like that myself. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's cool to see people over the years.
Let's talk about where you landed the first port.
So I'm going to give you, before we go to land,
go ahead.
I'm going to give you our Glacier Day, because Glacier Day should not be overlooked. It is one of those things that we thought we would really love, but we really loved it. It was probably the most memorable day of our cruise. It was some of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And it was just for a day in which you are not getting off the ship, you see and do so much. So your entire day really is spent sort of slowly making your way into whatever glacier area you're going to and into fjords. And it is just some of the most breathtaking scenery. You are surrounded on all sides of the ship. So it doesn't matter where you are at. It doesn't matter if you have a veranda or not in your stateroom. If you go to any deck, you're just going to see nature, 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 nature. And it's just, yeah, it is hard to describe how breathtaking those areas are. We spent a ton of time on decks 9 and 10, which are sort of the top decks of the Disney Wonder, and just looked, saw all the things. We saw our first whales going in. We saw a bunch of humpback whales. And just the excitement that everybody had throughout that was, yeah, pretty palpable. Like, everybody was just kind of freaking out and losing their minds over just the sort of awesomeness of what we were seeing. So we spent a lot of time outside that day. We got to take photos with the characters in their special Alaskan outfits, mm-hmm. which was adorable. And then as we sort of capped out the afternoon, we actually did an excursion that day. So we took a smaller boat that we tendered to from the Disney Wonder and got off and got closer to the glacier. So this is something you can pay for in addition to the Glacier Day.
Right.
you can actually take that little boat and go see the glacier. So that was a 2-hour excursion for us. And while it was quite pricey, it was something that we both really wanted to do. And we were both very glad that we did it, because for us, it was an experience that we really, really loved and was definitely worth it for us. Mm-hmm. We saw some humpback whale super close up, which was really amazing.
That's something I could get into. Definitely.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Glaciers. It sounds like what you're saying is you got a view from wherever you are, plenty to look at.
Absolutely. Lots of nature. If you like seeing things, and even if you don't think that's your jam, go step outside and see some whales and some bald eagles on icebergs, and your mind will be changed.
I was going to say, you might have some new jam.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, where do we go from here?
So then after Glacier Day, we then make our way to our first Alaskan port, and that was Skagway. So Skagway is kind of a town, but not a town. It is normally, there's about 900 people that live there year round. So it's sort of really only built up during the seasonal time of year. It's not kind of a proper town that you would think of
right. Normally.
They have very limited resources, but the entire town itself is essentially a national park. And so there are lots of great things to see there, lots of good shopping, lots of great historical stuff. The town essentially looks like as it almost did during the Gold Rush era. So that's kind of neat. That day, we ended up getting up quite early in the morning. We had an excursion at 7:15 a.m., which was, yeah, we got some coffee before we did that excursion. So we needed some caffeine. But we did a combination bus tour and we rode the White Pass Railway,
okay,
which was really cool. So if you're into trains, you will definitely want to make sure you get on the White Pass Rail in Skagway. It is not to be missed. But it was great because we did kind of a local city bus tour. We did a bus tour that went up into the Yukon. So you're going back into Canada, and we were able to take stops throughout the Klondike Highway sort of run that we went up and get some spots where we could take photos and video and just kind of take a look at all of the really amazing mountains and snow, because there was snow out there when we got there, which was another kind of, again, layers. There are lots of layers mm-hmm. if you go to Alaska. So we definitely had some cool weather stuff there. And then once you get up to sort of the Yukon area, then we were able to take the train all the way back down into Skagway. So that was a 5-hour excursion, definitely busy, but a very cool experience. And again, another place where we just saw really beautiful landscape and animals and wildlife as well.
Sounds really pretty. I've heard lots of cool things about Alaska. I actually have a buddy from high school that lived up there for a number of years. I don't know if he's still there or not, but I don't know if I'd be that brave, but I definitely want to go see it somehow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And cruising is such a really accessible way to do it because, like you said, yes, Disney is expensive, but there's a lot of other cruise lines that make it more affordable so you can get to these places and see them. Because a lot of them are landlocked. So Skagway, you can only get in by boat or plane. And that is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll sort of quickly say as we wrapped up our day in Skagway, yes, we did do the excursion, but we also explored the town. So definitely don't skip out on that. Pro tip, the shops close early. We were in port until 8 o'clock at night and everything closed by 4 to 5. So just something to know about, which was unexpected for us.
We makes did you a wonder why the ship waits so long to leave if they're closing up, doesn't it?
I know. Oh, we were like, we should have done the reverse. We did a hike in the afternoon. There's a great hiking trail near where all the cruise ships dock called Yakutinia Point. And I highly recommend that because the views are amazing. It's not too tough of a hike, really pretty. But then we went to go to the shops and it was between 4 and 5 and everything started closing. So we missed out on a lot of the places we had hoped to go. So just bear that in mind when you're in any of these ports, towns. Mm. They expect they get a flurry of people kind of in the morning and early afternoon, and then sort of later in the day. This also happened in Ketchikan too. A lot of the shops do start to close.
Yeah.
So get your shopping down in the morning if you can.
Okay. So I assume you had some kind of meal on board. How'd that go?
Yeah. The food overall on the cruise was really great. So we chose late dining on our sailing. It just works for us. And it also worked for the times that we were in port. So we had an 8 p.m., 8:15, dinner. And so it gave us plenty of time throughout the day to kind of explore, do some stuff in the ports. So we did get some food in the different ports. Mm-hmm. But we also got lunch on the ship several days as well. So the food is great. All the restaurants are great. I would say probably our favorite might have been Tiana's place on this sailing. It just mm-hmm. depends on the cruise and what restaurants they have. But we also like Triton's and Animator's Pout, which are the other two main dining options that you get on the cruise. And they all have a different theme vibe. And those were all great.
And that's a rotational schedule, isn't it?
Correct. Yep. So you go on this sailing, we went to every restaurant twice and one restaurant three times. So you get a good sampling. They rotate the menu. So you're getting something different every single night. And Disney Cruise will make sure you do not go hungry. We were very, very full every single day. So they feed you extremely well.
If you do go away hungry, you weren't studying properly.
You're doing cruising wrong. That's all I got to say.
All right. So keep us going. How are we doing here?
Yeah. So next we head to Juneau. Juneau is the capital of Alaska. And this is probably the most proper town we went to of the whole different ports that we went to. So it's about 30,000 people that live in Juneau year round. So there's lots of shops, lots of, I'm going to say chain places in air quotes, but not really. They're all Alaska chains. So They had like one coffee shop company that has like six different locations. So instead of Starbucks, they have Heritage Coffee Company there. So that's their sort of equivalent of Starbucks. Okay. Alaska really tries to have a lot of their own independently owned restaurants and stores. So you're not going to see, I think they had a Subway in town, but by and large, you're not seeing like Walmarts or other big stores. They do have a Costco in one of the cruise port towns and a Walmart in the other one. But other than that, they really don't have a lot of sort of chain places. So know that when you go, which is actually really cool. But for this day, we did do another excursion. We went and saw sled dogs. We did a sled dog summer camp, which was very fun. This is a couple hour excursion. We got to go about 30 minutes out of Juneau into the woods to hang out with sled dogs. And that was super fun. If you're a big fan of doggos, I highly recommend this excursion. Not only is it neat to get to have a team of sled dogs take you around about a mile on a cart, but also you get to hang out with the dogs afterwards and meet them and give them love and just kind of get your dog fix in, which was pretty amazing.
The dangerous part to that is I'd want to bring one home.
Oh, yeah. I keep saying, I'm like, our day was, Juneau Day was also known as the day Sarah almost came home with a sled dog pup. They're pretty awesome. So, yeah, we got to do that and got to hang out with the dogs. And then they do give you a lot of information about the Iditarod, the fountain mm-hmm. of that. And the location we went to was in sort of a rainforest area. So we got to go across a suspension bridge and just see a lot of really beautiful nature there. So if you like doggos and you don't want to spend a complete arm and a leg on an excursion, the summer camp is a great option because it's a much more affordable excursion versus seeing the sled dogs on a glacier, which is also amazing and awesome. And I wanted to do, but I could not justify the price. So just, you know, sort of think about your budget, what you like, what is important to you. And you can usually find something like this. It's a good happy medium.
That does sound like that would be a lot of fun. It would be something I'd enjoy. I think my wife would too. It took a while for her to get accustomed to a dog in the house once we got one. But when we lost her, I mean, we haven't replaced her yet because we're afraid we won't get a dog that was as good as she was. But we like to go visit dogs for the puppy therapy. So there we go. Therapy dogs.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect excuse to go see the doggos. Yeah. It's a great excursion. So
honey, let's take an Alaskan cruise soon and go get some puppy love.
100%. No complaints there. Yeah, it was a good excursion. And then also because we were only in port until 4:45 on our Juneau day, it worked out great for us because it gave us a lot of time to still be able to see Juneau and get to explore that. So we did kind of hang out at that coffee shop I mentioned earlier. We found some great coffee. Mm-hmm. If you're a coffee person, you got to go to Heritage Coffee. Some of the best coffee I've had in years was fantastic. And then we also went to an exhibit in a place called Sea Alaska Heritage. So if you're really interested in learning about the indigenous people in Southeast Alaska, you can learn about some of the folks that were there. So we learned about the Tlingit, Haida, and I cannot remember the name of the other tribe that was there, but essentially it's a Native American facility that they use for educational purposes, events, and then they have some exhibits that you can see as well. So we were able to do that. We got to chat with somebody who was both Tlingit and Haida, who was the docent there, took us around, and it was really informative and interesting. And we also bought some Native American art while we were there, which was super great. So, yeah. And it's right by the cruise port. So if it's something you're interested in, I would definitely encourage you to check it out. We really liked that. We didn't make it to the Alaskan State Museum. That was the other big priority we wanted to do. We just didn't have enough time. But if you like museums, that's a big one I would recommend. And then we went to a local distillery there. So this is something you might not think about when you're going to a place like Alaska. They have a lot of breweries and also distilleries there too. So we went to a place called Amalga Distillery, which is a gin distillery. They're also doing some American single malt whiskey. That was really awesome. Vibe was cool. We had some good drinks. It was chill. We loved it.
I think we have to remember that Alaska is fairly remote. It doesn't have a lot of, I don't think, available shipping capabilities. So they have to make a lot of their own stuff up there to be able to enjoy.
Yeah, 100%. In fact, when we did a tour in Skagway, that bus tour, one of our drivers said, we asked her how long Amazon took. And they said 2 weeks. 2 weeks is like their Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So it takes a really long time to get things. They also said in Skagway that they had their second liquor store. So they're moving up in the world, that they had another location. So yeah, like you said, Matthew, there's a lot more limitations on what can get in, how long it takes to get to them. Everything either has to be flown or brought in by boat.
Right.
So yeah, I would highly recommend it. If you're looking for a microbrewery or a distillery, we went to an awesome one in Ketchikan too. So definitely recommend those. And then also, if you want some crab, do not skip going to Tracy's Crab Shack in Juneau. I paid the most I've ever paid for a crab in my life, but it was the best crab I've ever had in my entire life. So
it was worth the investment.
Fresh, 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 amazing crab. You got to go to Tracy's Crab Shack. So we did that on our way out. And then we were back really close to our sort of all aboard time. So we really made the most of our Juneau day. So that's a pro tip. Just make the most of your days. Don't overplan stuff. Give yourself some time to kind of explore, make changes to your plans, get things that are last minute. You know, there's definitely a lot to explore and see. And Juneau was definitely one of those places.
Well, like you said, you wanted to see the Alaska State Museum. Circumstances prevented that from happening. And it sounds like, even though you would really like to have seen that, you didn't miss it as much as you might have thought of because you had it filled with all these other things.
Totally. And you don't want to rush yourself either. Like, I was like, we could go, but then I'm going to feel completely rushed. And I don't want to feel super rushed seeing something that we really want to see. So we said if we go back someday, that would be something we would want to check out more. We would want to make sure we prioritize that. So, yeah.
That's the whole thing. Anytime you take a trip like that, you got to stop and think, okay, is it possible I'm going to get back here? If so, this is something to keep in mind for the next trip.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think that not over planning, which is hard. Any of us that go to Disney World on the regular, right? We're just so used to like planning and planning all the details, what rides you're going to go on, all the things. Give yourself a little bit of space, a little bit of space to just kind of pivot and change and let things happen as they happen. And sometimes that's the best part of your trip. When you're not over planning something. So
you might accidentally run into something that you're like, wow, that was not expected, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's definitely our next day was like that. And we could talk a little bit about that.
All right, go on.
Yeah, so next day is Ketchikan. Ketchikan was a day where we had a 5-hour excursion planned. We were supposed to go to the Misty Fjord National Monument, which you can only get to by seaplane. Or by boat. We were hoping to see whales and seals and all of the wildlife and all the things. And our excursion got canceled. The very last, like literally we were about to board the boat.
Wow.
To go to the Misty Fjord, and it got canceled because of a mechanical issue that they just couldn't fix. They'd been trying and it just didn't work. So our entire day was completely flipped upside down. We had, our excursion was scheduled for 2 o'clock that day. When you go to Ketchikan, at least as of right now on Disney Cruise Line, you don't get into port until like 11. So we had gotten off the ship just to kind of do some quick sightseeing, to go get some souvenirs for folks. Made it back to the ship so we could get on that excursion at 2 o'clock. And then 2 o'clock, we got canceled. So we had to kind of pivot and go, okay, what are we going to do? Right?
Right.
How do we make the rest? Do we go try to do a different excursion? That seemed, we were like, that seems like a lot of effort right now. Do we go spend some time exploring the town? So that's what we ended up doing. A lot of people did look for alternative excursions. And I'll say Disney was really good. They refunded our money very quickly that same day for the excursion. But yeah, how do you figure out what to do? So a lot of people went to local tour operators that were there right by the port. We ultimately decided to just kind of take it easy that day. We'd been so busy the other few days that we thought, well, we'll just go explore. So we went to Creek Street, which is the historic former red light district in Ketchikan. And it's really cute and charming, and there's lots of cool like local stores there now. So we went and did some shopping and explored. And then there's also some museums for totem poles. Ketchikan's really known for their totem poles, so you can check some museums out for that. We ended up not doing that day just because of the timing. But we ended up also going to another local distillery. We found another distillery that was vodka and gin. It was awesome because you know it's good when Disney Cruise Line cast members are also there at the distillery the same day you are, just kind of taking a break and chilling. So yeah. I was like, oh, this is the local spot. This is the place people go. So we had a really great time there. And then just kind of took it easy.
And something like that wouldn't bother me so much. I mean, yeah, if I had an excursion planned, I'd be disappointed if it got canceled. Absolutely. Disney refunds some money right away. That's great. That's fabulous. That's Disney service at its best. But I think the thing I would enjoy most about that kind of a situation would be getting into the town and meeting the local people and talking to them about what life was like for them, those kinds of things. I like learning about how other people live and how they make the best of where they're at. And this sounds like the perfect situation to make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. And even like the distillery, we met some local people. Speaking of dogs, we got to meet more doggos because people were there who live in Ketchikan with their dogs, and we were getting ready to leave, and one of the dogs started barking and kind of came up to us really fast, and the owner was like, he's totally cool. He wants you to make sure you give him love before you leave the distillery. So we had to give Buddy the dog some love before we left the distillery, which is great because then we got to chat with them a little bit and, you know, talk to them about where we were coming from, and that was cool. There's also a place called Orca Corn that sells freshly made popcorn. Go see Rhonda at Orca Corn. Rhonda owns it. She's been there for like 25 years. She's awesome. So again, yeah, just chat with people. And that was definitely something I would say on all of our excursions, talk to any of the folks, even in the stores, we would talk to people and they would tell us if they were there seasonally or if they live there and just a little bit about themselves. So people are very friendly in Alaska and very chatty. So you'll definitely get to know people and you can ask them questions. A lot of people are very open to answering any questions about why they're there and a little bit about life there.
That's fantastic. All right. So you leave Ketchikan. I assume you had another day at sea for the return?
Yep. Our return was a day at sea. And quite honestly, this was the day to just kind of rest because we were both plumb exhausted at this point. Even though it was an amazing cruise, we were both really busy the whole time. And so we both felt like, yeah, we just needed a little bit of downtime before we headed home and had to do a long travel day. So we just took it easy. And Disney, as they always do, had tons of activities that day. They're really great, especially on sea days, making sure there's something for everybody, whether you just want to hang out and relax in some of the common areas, the coffee shops, the promenade deck outside, there's something for you. If you are into trivia and games or you want to go to a cooking class or learn how to make towel animals, you have something you could do there. You want to go see a movie. We talked to some folks who were like, oh, we're getting ready to go see this movie. We're going to see Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. They have lots of new release movies. So if you're into any Disney films, they had Guardians out. They had Ant-Man and the Wasp. They had all sorts of stuff. So there really is something for everyone. We went and hung out with some characters that day, took some photos, but otherwise just took it easy. We actually sat in our stateroom for a while and watched some movies, some Disney movies on TV, just mm-hmm. to kind of give ourselves a little bit of downtime. So take advantage of the sea days. It's a great time, especially if you're on a busy cruise, to be able to see more of the ship and just kind of take all of that part in. Because sometimes when you're in a busy port day, you're not on the ship as much, and you right. want to be able to enjoy the ship too.
I've heard people say that Alaska is more of a grown-up type destination. Did you see many kids on board?
We did see kids. I would say by and large, it was probably the least amount of kids we've seen on any sort of normal Disney Cruise Line sailing. Mm-hmm. I think that was sort of a couple of different reasons. To your point, Matthew, I think Alaska does skew older. And we definitely noticed that on our sailing, that it was definitely more older crowd and lots of couples. We did also see a lot of multi-generational families, though. Lots of grandparents and grandkids and parents and everybody, big groups and things like that. And then the second thing I think is the timing for us. We sailed in the middle of May, so school was still in session.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big reason that our sailing also didn't have as many kiddos, because a lot of kids are still in school. So we actually saw a lot of younger kids that were not necessarily school aged.
That makes perfect sense. You had referred to packing before. So let's talk a little bit about what you have to pack for an Alaskan cruise. And I mean, you talked about 85 degrees in Vancouver. Did it cool down when you got out to the other destinations?
It sure did. It was 85 in Vancouver. The next morning it was 49 degrees. So that was a pretty big shift. We woke up in the morning and went, oh, it's pretty cold outside. So I think the biggest thing I would say in terms of packing is layers. Layers are going to be your friend for sure. The weather also can really vary. And just like places that have variations of degrees, it can change in like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the typical weather that you probably are expecting in Alaska is like kind of chilly, overcast, and a little rainy. We had that one day of our cruise, and that was our Juneau day. And we had rain jackets, but other than that, it was either chilly. So I had a lot of like layered things, like zip up kind of hoodies, long sleeve shirts, short sleeve shirts, mm-hmm. things that we could just adjust throughout the time. Because it really does vary. We had friends who went a week after and the weather was slightly different. The time of year you go to Alaska, whether it's, you know, kind of May and September, which are the shoulder seasons, or you're right in the middle in July and August, where it's going to be probably the most optimal for sunny, warmer weather, mm-hmm. You're going to want to bring layers, because you just never know. Who would have thought it would have been 85? You know, when we got to Vancouver.
Right.
And by average, we had very sunny weather. Ketchikan is known as like the rainiest city. And it didn't rain once in Ketchikan. We thought it was going to rain. I wore a rain jacket when we first got off the ship. And then it got sunny. Completely sunny. It was in the 60s. So it was really lovely. So I would say bring layers. Don't overpack, but also don't underpack, which is a hard thing to do. I don't know that we necessarily had that happy medium. I think, you know, keep an eye on your weather report and then have things prepared. I did bring waterproof hiking boots and regular boots, and I wore those a lot, and those worked out really well.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind.
Well, since your specialty is dietary sensitivity, were there any favorite meals on board the ship?
Oh gosh. Well, our favorite besides thing was Paolo brunch. And I was like, oh man, that's going to be my answer. Paolo brunch is amazing. We had gluten-free pizza there. That was awesome. And all sorts of good stuff. So I can't say enough good things about Paolo, but we really loved both of our meals at Tiana's place. So that's kind of more New Orleans style mm-hmm. food. So thinking about French Quarter resort at Disney World, kind of that style food. So shrimp and grits and things like that. I had shrimp and grits one night, great seafood, jambalaya. Yeah, the food was great. So if you like that kind of style food, Mardi Gras night there was super fun, and the food was really awesome, and we both really enjoyed it.
I personally think I would love to start on the Wonder. I don't know if I want to jump into one of the bigger ships right away. I've only cruised once before, and that's been 30 plus years ago.
Yeah, I would definitely say the Magic and Wonder are great ships.
Yeah.
Super accessible. They're very manageable. And I think Disney Cruise Line is a great, if you've gone on a cruise and you're not really sure, I think Disney Cruise Line may change your mind. Brandon didn't think he was going to be a big Disney Cruise fan when we went the first time 5 years ago. No exaggeration, within like the first hour of being on the cruise ship, he was like, oh, we're doing this again.
Yeah.
This was amazing. So yeah, I think the smaller ships are definitely a great way to go because you really get to know everyone and everything just feels kind of nostalgic and very classic Disney. So they're great ships.
And even though Disney overall is a more expensive cruise, the older ships sometimes come in a little more reasonably priced because they are older and some of the destinations are different. That wouldn't keep me from getting on board.
Yeah, and sometimes that's actually a draw, right? Like if you want to go to Alaska or you want to go to the West Coast, you're going to go on the Wonder. The Wonder's also now going to Australia, New Zealand coming up and has done Hawaii. So the Magic is kind of used to do Europe. Now the Dream is going to Europe, but the Magic has been doing a lot of Caribbean ports, but also sometimes does New Orleans, goes out of New Orleans. So that might be a fun, or Galveston. Those are cheaper.
I'm thinking about the New Orleans one because my wife actually has family down there. So we could drive down there and they could probably just take us to the port. I wouldn't have to worry about where I'm parking my car.
Nice. Yeah, that's convenient. Yeah. I say definitely take advantage of any convenient things you can do and ways you can save a little bit of money to get on the Disney cruise ships because they can be pricey. But like you said, Matthew, some of those other ones that go out of different areas will tend to be a bit cheaper, which is nice.
Now, I know that you did a lot of videos on this. You want to tell our listeners where they can catch a look at what you did?
Yes. So we do have an entire YouTube series on this cruise sailing. We have lots of other Disney Cruise Line videos, too. You can find our channel. So we're gluten-free and dairy-free, WDW. Or if you just really honestly, if you want to see Alaska, you probably just look into YouTube and say, Disney Cruise Alaska 2023, and our videos will probably pop up at this point. but you could do gluten-free Disney and cruise, and our stuff would come up as well. But we show all the highlights from the food to all the excursions we did. And there's lots of beautiful things to see. So definitely check it out if you have an interest in watching YouTube travel videos.
I purposely did not watch them yet because I was hoping to get you on here. Now I want to go watch them so I can see what everything you were talking about. There's a method to my madness.
I like it. Yeah, now you've got it in mind. Now you'll get to see it in action.
Exactly. Sarah, I really appreciate you coming back on Disney Conversations. It's been great having you. And I hope we can call on you again sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It's always a delight to chat with you. And I will never turn down an excuse to talk about anything Disney, especially Disney Cruise Line. So we will always encourage people to take DCL sailings if it's something you're interested in, because it's a great experience.
Absolutely. And Taurus, that brings us to a close of this tour. I hope you've enjoyed listening as much as I have. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thank you.
I want to take a moment to thank Sarah for joining us on this tour of Disney Conversations. That trip to Alaska on the Disney Wonder sure sounded like a really exciting time. I, for one, want to put that on my bucket list. How about you? If you or someone you know are interested in taking a Disney cruise, we can help with that. Just get in touch with me at magical_Matthew@outlook.com and let's start talking about how we can do that. For now, for those of us here at Disney Conversations, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
PTFN, ta-ta for now.